hope, encouragement, and direction. Who among us don't desire those simple elements of life? Well, they could be found right here in God's Word, and we'll look at them in depth here today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. It's all right here in God's Word. Everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. That's what's been promised us. Won't you join us for the next few minutes as we take a look at some of those promises, some of those challenges and encouragement from God's Word. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we study God's Word together that we might grow in grace. Here now with this edition of Abounding Grace, once again, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church, joined with Pastor Wes Bradenhoff of the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We're thankful on this Friday session to discuss current issues regarding topics in Christianity that are important and relevant to today's culture. And as we look at the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say regarding these issues, we trust that you will be blessed and encouraged in your Christian walk. So today we decided to take up, Wes and I discussed what we called and have labeled and others have the cult of personality. Mm-hmm. What comes to mind when we label something that way? What do we understand? What are we saying when we say the cult of personality?
Well, you have to get back to the roots of the word cult, Chris. And I think the word cult originally comes from Latin, if I'm not mistaken, cultus, which refers to worship. Basically the worship of personality. And it's what we see in our broader culture. You know, it's the reason why when you go to the supermarket and you a grocery store and you look on the shelf there, magazines filled with stories about celebrities. And that kind of thinking also carries over into the Christian world.
You know, we're living in a day, we have Hollywood in front of us where we have these figures and you know, you can't go into a child's room today without seeing posters of their icons, of their favorite character. And this worship of personality, this worship of people has become so prevalent. The scary thing, Wes, is how this is carried over into the church.
Oh, yeah.
On unprecedented levels, mm-hmm. where today it's not the message that we're following, but the man.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, there are a lot of different ways we can demonstrate this today, and we're going to be somewhat positive, but yet we want to expose what is going on. There are certain figures that come and go, and this happens all the time. We've seen people already since the 80s that were here and now gone, right?
Well, we'll go back to the 19th century or even the 18th century, you know, the Great Awakenings.
Yeah.
You know, they were centered around great men, great figures who attracted a following. You know, men like Charles Finney, George Whitefield, you know, these were the celebrities of their day. And into the 20th century, we had, you know, figures like Billy Sunday and even Billy Graham. You know, there's always been this cult of celebrity, especially I think we see it in American Christianity in the last three centuries.
You mentioned going back. The reason I said 80s is because how quickly these people come and go.
Yeah, that's certainly true for today.
It is for today.
Yeah.
It's kind of the whole Britney Spears thing, you know, here today and gone tomorrow. And yet we're dealing with this in the church. And let's go back. You mentioned Charles Finney,
mm-hmm.
A personality who was very strong, somebody who in his day had introduced what was called the New Measures. And the New Measures were sort of his positioning of what we know today as the anxious bench or the altar call mm-hmm. system, where he would put a bench up front and he would emotionally, what Martin Lloyd-Jones would call an emotional rape, but he would emotionally charge the people up to come and make a moment's decision for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say in his ministry, 500,000 people were converted.
Mm-hmm.
At that day, no one dared question it.
Mm-hmm.
But history has looked over that and has seen some problems. When we look at ministries and figures like this, what comes to mind in light of what Scripture teaches?
Well, I think the one thing that we should look for is lasting fruit. You know, the fact that, you know, these people, 500,000 people who were converted, you know, we think of it in terms of the parable of the sower. I mean, how many of these were the good seed who received the word immediately, exclusively, and deeply, who held on to it and who bore fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100? And I think as we look back at these Great Awakenings, as we look back at the Crusade movement of the last century, it also continues into today, you know, where is the fruit of faith? Where is the faith of all these people who have supposedly been converted? Has the gospel really been proclaimed by these people, or have people been attracted to, as we've been saying, a cult of personality, a cult of celebrity?
Right. It's a very real challenge. And certainly we wouldn't say that the Lord couldn't work through those very situations people. Of course, there were genuine conversions. The problem is the false pretenses and issues that come along with this sort of presentation of the gospel that is attracted to the personality, and then upon the false premise that man does this in his own power.
Exactly. And, you know, with, you know, we mentioned Finney, Charles Finney, his idea was that, you know, he did not believe that revivals were a supernatural miracle of God. He believed that they were things that you could manipulate, things that if you just followed these steps, if you followed this technique, inevitably there would be a revival, right? It was a turn from truth, which characterized much of the preaching before Finney, to technique, to finding the right method. The emphasis was no longer on the message, on the preaching of Christ crucified, but on finding the right way to manipulate people and get them to, you know, walk the aisle up to the anxious bench.
And I think that's what we really want to focus on, is the issue that there are new methods that are introduced always come at the expense of the truth and the message.
Mm-hmm.
You look at this throughout even our time and into the present. The removal of the content of the Christian message is so unprecedented that, you know, they say with Joel Osteen that you can't even call it heresy because there's not enough content for it to be heresy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've essentially done is become, in a lot of ways, just motivational speakers in Christianity today,
mm-hmm.
Where all of God's designs for ministry, his methods, his means that he has chosen are downplayed, and we have catered to the whims of what men want.
And we go to church to become a better you.
Right.
And is that really what God's plan is for us? Is it his plan for us to become better people? Is it about moral transformation? Or is it about something different, about the gospel?
We've talked about this. I could get moral transformation from Dr. Phil and Oprah. They have some good moral principles for living, and probably, Gandhi, you know?
Well, there's an Islamic Dr. Phil. I don't know if you've heard about that.
No.
In the Muslim world, there, if you watch Al Jazeera or what have you, there's Muslim moral transformation too that will get you just to exactly the same point. But you're going to be just as lost.
Right. It's dealing with, Wes, temporary problems. It's a this-worldly theology. It's mm-hmm. not an otherworldly. It's a theology of what Luther called glory,
yeah.
as opposed to a theology of the cross that is a theology of suffering and a theology of taking up your cross and following Christ. We want the glory now.
Right.
And all of these theologies, and what are these figures all telling us to do? All these figures, almost universally, even from Finney to the present, tell us to look inward.
Oh, yeah.
It's always an inward transformation. Joel Osteen's seven steps are inward. When we're always looking inward, we're never looking extrospectively outside of ourselves to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We never have the need for a Savior to come and deliver us. We're looking for the deliverance within. And that's where I think always is sort of the hallmark of these false teachers.
Right.
They're telling you to look inward. And you have some ideas about maybe some contemporary ones that we've been seeing arise on the scene that are here today and gone tomorrow.
Well, you take the example of Todd Bentley, who's actually a Canadian. He's based out of Abbotsford, British Columbia, just across the border here from Linden. And Todd Bentley has been very well known lately for a so-called revival taking place in Lakeland, Florida. If you just go on the internet and just go to YouTube.com and look up Todd Bentley, you can have a look for yourself and see what he's been up to. It's all about signs and wonders and, you know, rockets glaring and fireworks exploding. It's all about a ministry of glory. And I would challenge our listeners to watch that and to see whether there's anything of the gospel in that, to see whether, you know, is he really proclaiming Jesus Christ as a savior for sinners, or is it all about just the glory, a theology of glory?
I think that's a really fair comment because, you know, the constant cry of the servant of Christ is, let me decrease so that Christ would increase.
Right.
There's a decreasing of the actions and attitude of the person as Christ is more magnified in the message itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, too, is a core thing that has to be asked. Who really is the sinner here?
Right.
And we're just as much to blame, Wes, as the hearers when we are exalting these personalities and not Christ.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Chris, we have to keep in mind God's word and all of this and what it says, for instance, in 2 Timothy 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And then the words that are addressed to pastors like you and I, but you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
Yeah, affliction almost becomes taboo in these theologies, but yet it is very much the endurance of suffering, affliction, trial that marks us and defines our Christianity.
Right.
You know, I think what the apostle wrote to Timothy, the young pastor in 1 Timothy 4, now the Spirit expressly says, that's, you know, here he's emphatically declaring to us that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving to by those who believe and know the truth. What's the answer? Well, he instructs pastors like us, Wes, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the good words of faith and the good doctrine which you've carefully followed. So, there's a responsibility for the shepherds to warn and keep the sheep from these false doctrines.
Yeah, and I think we should also encourage our listeners to make sure that you're attending a church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, where Christ is proclaimed as the Savior of sinners, where Christ is exalted, where you hear the preaching of Christ crucified, and not, you know, principles for living, life coach, therapy, what have you.
And we want to stress, this is a matter of life and death.
Absolutely.
This is not a light matter. It's a matter of whom are we confessing? Whom is our only hope in life and in death? Wes, tell us a little bit about the Langley Canadian Reformed Church.
Well, we're located in Langley, close to the airport on 52nd Avenue, just to the east of the airport. People can find more information about us at our website, www.langleycanrc.org. And where our worship services are at 9:30 and 2 o'clock on Sundays.
Thanks for joining us. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.